Hello and welcome to my anchor podcast, Di Salvucci's Random Podcast. This is Di Salvucci. You're listening to my Random Podcast Season 2, Episode 2, my post-Super Bowl thoughts and American Rust. So, it's been a while since my Episode 1 podcast for Season 2, but that's okay. Life is to be lived and sometimes it gets in the way of podcasts. Before I get into my main topics, I want to give a sad shout out and farewell to one of my favorite musicians, Michael Stanley. He passed away on March 5th, 2021 at the young age of 72. Forgive me if my math is off. Yeah, I'm not real good with math. I'm a social studies teacher. His music has been a mainstay in my life for years. He's one of those local regional rockers along with Donny Iris whose music is comparable to international acts. Been listening to Michael Stanley for years, and his greatest hits CDs and on YouTube and everywhere else you have music, it's like a mainstay. I play it constantly. Great music. For some reason though, it didn't make the splash as other acts did on the international scene, national scene, but his music's comparable to theirs in every aspect. His stories of life and growing up resonate with many, especially those of us from Western Pennsylvania and Ohio. Being from Western PA and having family in Ohio and spending many summers up on Lake Erie at Geneva on the lake, his words conjure memories that sync with the lyrics of his songs. Just remember listening to the music and kind of superimposing over things happening, going on with me. A musical lust, a great one, even if many people don't realize it. So it's a sad farewell to Michael Stanley. He will be missed. Now, back to the regularly scheduled podcast. When I left with my Super Bowl phobia broadcast, the Season 2, Episode 1, all the Super Bowl phobias came to reality. Tom Brady threw 3 touchdowns. Didn't have a great game, but he still had 3 touchdowns. Antonio Brown caught one of those as a touchdown, which, ugh. He said so many weeks ago, those are things I didn't want to happen. Antonio Brown helped Pittsburgh implode last year and threw the team into disarray. We had, 2 years ago, we had Tom Brady's been our arch nemesis, although I don't think we're much of a road bump for him, speed bump for him in the game of football, but he has been the thorn in our side for many. However, on the positive side, Tampa has many Pittsburgh connections on their staff and in their other players, so I'm happy for them overall. I didn't have a horse in that race, but, it was kind of rough at times. And I know I sound like one of those lame Pittsburgh newscasts where no matter what the story is, they find a Yinzer connection. Let me put the air quotes here. We have an exclusive interview with a local man whose neighbor's mailman's paperboy's dog chewed a magazine picture of a person related to this event. End air quote. Because that's what happens in Pittsburgh media all the time. They'll find the most obscure connection and tie it into a newscast that runs every hour on the hour. And, that's not this. There are a lot of their offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, was backup quarterback in Pittsburgh for a number of years. Tampa. Their head coach was our offensive coordinator who was unceremoniously retired forcibly by Pittsburgh before he was picked up in Indianapolis and has won coach of the year a couple times. He's a great guy, and many other coaches and players are on that team, have played in Pittsburgh at one point or another or coached in Pittsburgh at one point or another, so I'm happy for them. Anyway, that is what it is, and sorry for the negativity. I'm going to stop whining. It was a great weekend. It was sunny all weekend. I should be more cheerful, and I will be when I get to sit out on the deck and relax some more. I was going to record this outside, but it's a little dark and a little cold outside, so as I scripted this out the other morning, I planned on being outside, but never got there. Now, on to an overlooked topic about the Super Bowl. Mr. Patrick Mahomes, don't call my son Pat. His toe injury was a major issue during that game, And many people downplayed that injury. I mean, the guy was still phenomenal. He ran for what, scrambled over 400 yards plus. They did that advanced analytics stuff. And he had over 400 yards running around behind the line of scrimmage to avoid being crushed by Tampa's defense. The big thing was, though, that they still lost. You know, he had a heck of a game. He was a gamer. He threw balls that were hitting people in the face mask 30 yards down the field as he's doing Superman dives off, you know, trying to avoid going and getting tackled. So he was still accurate. But overall, they keep downplaying the injury. And I have no idea what's going on with him because, you know, I'm in Pittsburgh and they don't really talk too much about that. But I have just two words and one name. We'll actually make it three words because I'm going to add the title Mr. And the three words are Mr. Jack Lambert. Famed Pittsburgh Steeler inside linebacker, a Hall of Famer, a defender of teammates, super intense guy, and one of the greatest defensive players of all time. If you remember the 1970s, as I do growing up, he was just a tough guy. Undersized by today's standards, undersized by the standards of the 70s, but he was a phenomenal generational player, one of the greatest of all time inside linebackers. And you know why he retired? Anyone want to guess? Anyone? Let's see if I can pull up some sound effects here. And I can't. I don't know how. My iPad is not responding. Anyway, the reason why he retired, turf toe, what they said Patrick Mahomes had. It ended Jack Lambert's career. Not saying Patrick Mahomes is done by any means, but turf toe, from what I understand, is a nasty, nasty injury, and it can cause pain, it could cause major issues, and being that you have to be a mobile quarterback in today's league, this can have many unexpected consequences on his career. I hope not, because he seems like a great guy, and he's a heck of a quarterback, so I'm hoping that is not the case. But I think people were taking that injury way too lightly. Ah, it's just a toe. It's ended people's careers in the past. So I hope all is well with him. Now, I'll be right back after this short break. Hey, I'm back. Now, recently I read on Apple News that the book American Rust by Philip Meyer, I believe I'm saying his name right, I hope so, was being made into a limited series, I believe on Showtime or some other pay network. I borrowed the ebook from the public library. I was interested in, after a little bit of research, reading it before I watched, or you know, had the ability to watch the limited series. I jumped right into it. I could go on about ebooks from public libraries, especially during the pandemic and how they kept my mind active, but that is another podcast entirely. So I'm going to go on to American Rust. This book takes place in an area outside of Pittsburgh, PA, known as the Mon Valley. This is actually the lower Mon Valley. It's a former industrial steel mega-producing region that collapsed in the 1970s and 1980s. My family's from that area, and I know many of the real towns in the book. Buell, the town that's the main setting, is fictitious, but the other towns in and around that area are well-described and accurate, very legit. My grandfather grew up in the coal mine towns further south of where Buell would be and later worked in United States Steel's Duquesne Works, which is a little further north. He told us stories about having to pay his way into getting hired at U.S. Steel, but that's another podcast also. So I have some ideas to come down the pike about some podcasts, but the book, I liked it. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but at one point in my life, in the book they were talking about one of the characters was offered a job to help tear down steel mills, and at one point in my life, I was offered a job to help down the U.S. Steel Mill in Homestead, which is now a large outdoor shopping complex. I turned the job down because I was hired into my career that I have now as an educator. But I saw that parallel and it was kind of intriguing because that was a big industry for a while in the Pittsburgh region, tearing down these desolate and forsaken steel mills that the companies let kind of rust away, unfortunately. Anyway, back to the story. American Rust centers around two friends, Isaac and Billy, who stumble into several crises, from real-world crises to philosophical life issues. Their families are introduced along with some other locals, including the chief of police, Bud Harris. I'm going to stop there so as not to give away too much info on the book, but it's a good book. It's a good read. It's a stream of consciousness writing from each character's perspective. I liked it. One of the other major characters of the story is the setting itself. The towns play as big a role as the main characters, if not even a larger role. Knowing the history of the region, you can say that the setting is the main antagonist. If the steel industry had not collapsed, their lives would have been much different. The story would have had a totally different tact. And yes, I know the old saying, if rainbows were bridges, we'd all have pots of gold, or something like that. I forget the actual saying, but it's a paraphrase. That's all that matters. So the book itself was really good. And then at the end of the story, there's a reader's guide that has an interview between Philip Meyer and the Random House Reader Circle. Gives background into both the book and Philip Meyer's background. He himself sounds like his biography, as I can't speak tonight, his biography would be an interesting read. He grew up in Baltimore, Maryland during the collapse of some of their industry. So different region, kind of not quite parallel, but similar events in his life that were going on in the Mon Valley. He was a high school dropout, got his GED, and eventually decided to work his way back into college, went Ivy League with Cornell. He also got, went Wall Street and made money in Wall Street in finance. Then decided, as he was trying to be an author, he wanted more time to get back into the real world. So he quit Wall Street and ended up in construction, then worked as an EMT. And like I said, all the while working on becoming published. After you get through the interview with him, which was an interesting read, the educator in me likes the questions and topics for discussion section. There were 10 multi-part questions for people, book clubs or whomever, start discussions or reflecting on the book if you wanted to do it yourself. I gave it a 5-star rating on Goodreads. It's well written. Some people didn't like it if you read through the comments. I liked it. And also I think some of the nostalgia from my days running around in the Mon Valley when I was younger played a role in that rating, but it was a good book overall. I would definitely recommend it to people. All in all, the book is worth the read. So, wrapping up this podcast here in a bit, just thinking about moving forward with these podcasts. I'm going to try and keep them once a month, hopefully a little bit sooner. We'll see how that goes every few weeks, but summer's coming up, so we'll see how that goes. I am going to do a few podcast episodes talking about other podcasts. I've been listening to podcasts more and more, and I found some good ones. I think they're worth a listen. I'll do little summaries of those. Some are for pure entertainment, others some educational improvement, which is always a good thing. Always have room to improve. I'm also going to do some more book and author topics, some podcasts in there. I'm trying to branch out, but the one topic I'm probably going to avoid outside of this little statement, as I was thinking about it, local Major League Baseball team. I'll do sports, but I'm not going to do the local Major League Baseball team. How to paraphrase the Rolling Stones. I used to love them, but it's all over now. Not a big fan of them anymore. Loved them in the heyday. Had tickets all the time in the early 90s. But as of late, you can always compare them to the old Soviet Union. The old Soviet Union had better 5-year plans than Pittsburgh's team. If the owner and team management had said, too bad you guys, we got you a beautiful stadium, we're making money, go watch the game, we don't care about winning, we're making money, I could at least admire their honesty. They're constantly saying that they're contending for a World Series and are nowhere near contending for a World Series. But it is a beautiful ballpark, and I miss going to the games, but I'm not going to go support that team. I believe that there's a disingenuousness about the message the team starts saying, but enough of the negativity. Sorry, I went off on a tangent. Enough of that non-subject. I'm done talking about the baseball team in Pittsburgh. There's better things to talk about. So, We've talked about some of the topics I'm going to get into with future podcasts. I'm going to try and have some of my friends come on, do some discussions with me, trying to bring in some other people. I have some ideas working, talk to some people to interview, and moving forward that way, try and make this some interesting things going on here. Now, as I get ready to wrap up the podcast and finalize things, I want to mention several bits of information. Neither of the next two organizations that I am going to mention sponsor or advocate anything on this podcast. This podcast are my thoughts and my thoughts alone. The words are stated in my own and no one else's. But I want to mention these organizations. The first is PAECT, the Pennsylvania Association of Educational Communications and Technology. If you're an educational stakeholder, check out PAECT.org on the internet to see what's going on in educational technology, not only around Pennsylvania, but around the globe. Join thousands of educational stakeholders to network and help strengthen the use of best practices in educational technology today. That's at PAECT.org. And the second is 211.org, or from your phone, just dial 211. And you could find local social services in your area for the United States and most of Canada. If you're an individual or family in need, please reach out to this fantastic resource for help. They're a great resource. They're willing to reach out and help you and connect you with services in your area. If you are struggling, please ask for help. Last but not least, I am a big believer in mindfulness. Even though I'm not supported by any meditation or mindfulness apps, I would be willing to be ad-supported by some. I myself use a meditation app daily. I'm not going to mention which one because they're not a sponsor and I don't want to, tout any. But if Dan Harris someday listens to this podcast, I would gladly accept his offer to be a sponsor of this podcast. But seriously, there are many apps out there that work, deal with mindfulness, deal with meditation. They work for even someone like me who my mind is constantly running in a plethora of directions, almost constantly going this way and that. Meditation can be hard, but it does work. And if you give them an honest try, it may take time, you have to go through several apps. A lot of the apps are free. Some have free levels, some have pay levels. But there's all different ways to meditate and work into mindfulness. It does seem to work. During the chaos that has been the past year or so, we all need a way to handle stress in a positive way, and I hope people find a way to do that. So there's a lot of apps out there for people who aren't tech savvy. You know, there's other ways to achieve mindfulness in a positive way. Hopefully, you can do that. So that's pretty much it for now. This episode is going to be in the books, as they say, old school wise. I plan to be back in the next several weeks with another podcast. As I said before, I have several ideas. I just need to decide which way to go. Take care, everybody, and hope to talk to you soon.